Well, look who's here. Good morning, Princess Tamalpa. You remember Skedaddle. This is his sister, Tulip.
Good morning, Aunt Sally. Good morning, children. I brought a story my father would tell us on bright, sunny days such as this. We Miwoks traded with the Pomo tribe to the north, and this is their story of how Coyote helped to light the world. When the world was very young and there was not a single beam of light anywhere, a hawk kept flying around trying to find his way in the black sky. Meanwhile, down on the black earth, Coyote was stumbling around trying to find his way. Day after day, Coyote groped through the thick darkness trying to find a ray of light somewhere. Above, Hawk flew around and around trying to find his way to light. At last, Coyote groped and stumbled and pulled his way up a high mountain. In the darkness, he bumped into trees and rocks. He skinned his haunches. He fell. He skidded backward, but he kept on going. His paws got very sore, throbbing with each step upward, but he finally reached the top. Just then, Hawk happened to swoop lower and lower over the very same mountain. Hawk flew too low and bumped right into Coyote and bent his whiskers and hit his nose. Yow! Coyote clapped his paws to his face and rubbed his nose. Arr! Hawk shook his feathers straight in the dark. But Hawk and Coyote didn't get angry and fight.
I'm sorry I hit you, Coyote, but it's dark and I can't see. You nearly scared the feathers off me.
That wasn't your fault, Hawk. I couldn't see either, or I would have kept my long nose out of your way. You nearly scared me out of my skin.
With that, Hawk flew above Coyote and hung fluttering in the darkness and talked about how wonderful it would be if there were light in the world. Coyote sat on his haunches on the cold mountaintop and talked back about light, too. Then Coyote began to think.
It doesn't do any good for you to fly around talking to me about the dark, Hawk. And it doesn't do me any good to sit here on my haunches and grumble in the dark.
You're right. But what can we do, a hawk and a coyote?
Coyote was silent, thinking hard. Hawk grew silent, too, except for the fluttering sound of his wings. But the harder Hawk and Coyote thought, the darker it seemed. Then, when Coyote stopped thinking so hard and pricked up his ears and listened to the whispering darkness, an idea came.
I'll gather a heap of tools from the marsh and roll them into a ball with my paws.
How can you get light from a ball of tools? Tools are just marsh grasses.
Hawk flew away in disgust. Coyote felt very much alone as he stumbled down the night-covered mountain to the marsh and gathered tools that grew there. His front paws ached and grew raw from pulling tools, but he told himself that light was worth sore paws and a weary back, and he kept on working until he had a big pile of tools beside him. He picked up one of the long stems of grass and wadded it into a small ball. Then he wrapped another tool around that, pulling it very tight so it would be solid. He kept on doing this until he had a very big solid ball, a ball bigger than had ever been made in all the world before. All this took lots of time. Hawk grew lonely and flew back to be near Coyote in the dark. He was guided by the sound of the tools that rattled while Coyote wadded and twisted them together.
I'm sorry I flew away. I'll help you any way I can, if you think you can bring light to the world.
Well, it's about time. I've worked alone and I need help if we are ever to have light.
Coyote felt around in the dark, and Hawk felt around in the dark, until they touched each other.
Here.
Coyote gave the big, round bundle of tools to Hawk. He groped around on the mountaintop and found some pieces of flint. These he handed to Hawk, too.
Now what do I do?
Hawk still didn't believe that he, a bird, could help bring light to all the world.
Take the tool ball in your claws and the flints in your beak and fly as high as you can. way up there where only you can fly, strike the flints together, make a spark, and light the ball of tulle. Then leave the burning ball and fly away as fast as you can before you catch on fire." Hawk was pleased because he could fly and Coyote couldn't. He took the tulle ball and the flints and strained every muscle in his wings to fly higher than he had ever flown before. He'd show Coyote how high he could go. Whoosh! He went up higher and higher until Coyote called out, "Yoo!" to cheer him on. Up and up Hawk went, so high that the yoos of Coyote cheering him on grew fainter and fainter. Finally, he was so high that he couldn't even hear Coyote's calls. There was only silence and blackness and the rushing sound of Hawk's great climbing wings.
"Now I'll light the tools," Hawk said to himself. "It's time, because now I'm so high up there's hardly any air to beat my wings against."
He worked with his claws and his beak to strike the flints together for a spark. It was hard because he had to hold onto the big tool ball and keep his wings spread wide on the thin air. A bright, hot spark suddenly flew up from the flints. Hawk's wings lashed the air in excitement. But just at that instant, North Wind discovered Hawk and went, "Whoo!" very hard. "Get out of here," North Wind hissed. "Up here is where I live. Not even a hawk is allowed up here." The spark died. North Wind whooed so hard that Hawk could hardly hold on to the huge tool ball. His tail feathers were blown back and forth until he was afraid they would be ripped off. The feathers on the back of his head blew forward into his eyes. Hawk was discouraged, but he was proud. He wouldn't let Coyote down there on Earth think that he couldn't do his part in lighting the world. He worked harder than ever in spite of North Wind. He gripped the tool ball firmly in his sharp claws. Then he wedged one of the flints just under one claw. The other flint he held in his beak. He struck them together many, many times. Just when he had almost lost hope, a new dancing spark leaped into life. Swiftly, Hawk touched the spark to the bundle of tools. The spark caught. Red and yellow flames licked upward around the great ball. Suddenly, the whole ball blazed with so much light and heat that Hawk's joy turned to fear. He let go and went racing downward. Even as he flew down to the cooler air, he was filled with a sense of wonder at the giant ball of flame he had left blazing there above. Light poured over the whole sky until Hawk felt almost blinded from its beauty. Dazzled, he looked at his own soaring wingtips. Such glitter and color! How pleasantly warm the heat from the ball was, now that he was closer to Earth.
"What pretty feathers I have! And if it weren't for me, there would be no sun in the sky."
Coyote heard Hawk's loud boasts, but he didn't care, because he could see, too, with this wonderful new light. He looked at his poor, bleeding front paws, and he saw the fine, shiny yellow coat that he wore. He looked at the beautiful things in the world all around him, the trees and the brooks and the golden waving grasses and the snow on the mountains high above. He knew that it had taken both a coyote and a hawk to bring the sun into the world. But soon Coyote became dissatisfied because sun moved so fast that time after time it disappeared and there were dark spans called nights. When Coyote talked to Hawk about the darkness returning whenever sun went away, Hawk only sniffed.
"You wanted the world lighted, and I did it. Are you never satisfied?"
He went away and sunned himself on a rock. But Coyote was smart. He knew how to manage Hawk. He made another bundle of tools and took them to the rock where Hawk was sunning himself.
"Hawk, you are a wonderful bird. You brought light to the world because you can fly so high."
Hawk was pleased. He preened his feathers.
"Hawk, you can do something more for the world. Indians will always love you." All people will remember you if you can do this.
What?
Take this bundle of tools up high when it is night and light them, and there will never be night again. Hawk, feeling happy to be such a fine, high-flying bird, took the second bunch of tools when it got dark, and he soared upward. But this time, when the spark flew up from the flints, the tools did not blaze as they had before. They burned in a pale way with a silver smoke. And so it is that the moon burns with a dim and uncertain light in the night sky. Sometimes north wind blows woo so hard that moon is only a thin splinter of light. Sometimes moon is only a quarter lighted, and sometimes it has a bite out of it. Coyote blamed himself for giving Hawk damp tools to make moon. That is why, whenever the moon is full, Coyote's great-grandsons and even his cousins, the dogs, sit on their haunches and howl, "Yow! The moon is too dim!" And that's the story of how Coyote helped to light the world.
Well, children, that's all the time we have today.
Thank you for that enlightening story, Princess Tamalpa. Thank you for coming, Skedaddle and Tulip. And thank you for tuning in Aunt Sally's Story Shop.